All right, as you all know, here on the Empowerment Zone, we definitely believe in the importance of health. Health is one of those things that people don't appreciate until it's gone, but we here believe in the importance of taking care of our minds, body, and spirits.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Oh, welcome to the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston, and today we're going to talk about health with a physical therapist, and he's going to talk about all aspects of health, but also talk about health disparities. We have Dr. Herman Turner with us today. Dr. Herman Turner was born and raised in Selma, Alabama, and he earned his biomedical science degree from Auburn University. And while at Auburn, Dr. Turner was involved as College of Science and Mathematics Ambassador, student assistant for the men's basketball team, member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, woof, and several other organizations. After Auburn, Dr. Turner attended physical therapy school at Alabama State University, where he earned a doctorate of physical therapy degree. At ASU, he was awarded the American Physical Therapy Association's Minority Award for academic excellence and presented a research study, Stroke and Cardiovascular Disease in College-Aged Males. Today, Dr. Turner lives in Birmingham, Alabama, working as a physical therapist at a local clinic, as well as established Turner Physical Therapy Consultants. Dr. Turner enjoys being around family and friends, reading, running marathons, world travel, and working with Selma's youth through the Selma Bridge Builders, Inc. nonprofit. So welcome to the Empowerment Zone, Dr. Herman Turner. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so very much for this opportunity, my first ever interview. So I'm a little nervous, but I appreciate you. I've been watching what you've been doing with your podcast. I applaud you for giving people like myself an opportunity to articulate, express their, you know, past experiences, the occupation, and just life in general.
Well, I appreciate having you. You were one of the first people I reached out to do an interview, and it's almost a year later, and I finally got you on the show. So I'm so happy to have you. And reading your bio, man, you could talk about a lot of stuff. You could talk about fraternities, you know, and you could talk about, attending an HBCU, the whole Auburn University, growing up in Selma and what that's like. You could talk about physical therapy. You could talk about health disparities. There's so much you can talk about. So I'm glad we finally dwindled it down to a topic.
Yeah, narrow it down.
Yeah. So before we get started talking about health and health disparities and your work as a physical therapist, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself? We always like to get personal with people and connect with them on a personal level, and then we go into that our professions and our passions.
Sure. My name is Dr. Herman Turner, born and raised in the historic city of Selma, Alabama. Then attended Auburn University and graduated there and went to Alabama State. I've been practicing physical therapy here in Birmingham for approximately like 14 years now at a local clinic, outpatient clinic. So just enjoy life. That's pretty much simple, but basic. That's who I am.
Well, let me ask you this before, since you're Omega Psi Phi, I want to ask you, why'd you decide to go Omega Psi Phi of all? I'm just curious.
Growing up in Selma, the influence from coaches, teachers, family members, you know, I was always around them. They always taking time out to teach me things, to guide me, share their mistakes, failures, you know. So just that influence within itself. And when I got to Auburn, that was it. I already knew. So one of the best decisions that I ever made in my life, root to the bros.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Root. So I'm being silly. So let's talk about, you're in the STEM field as a physical therapist, and there is now in our society an attempt to try to push more people of color, particularly Black men, into STEM fields. And, you know, growing up, a lot of myths go on in the community about who we can be and what we can aspire, what we can do and what we cannot do. And many times there's this myth that Black people can't do math. And I see it states that you are a mathematics ambassador. Can you talk a little bit about your love for math and, you know, and the sciences, and kind of encourage some of our listeners out there who are interested in going into the STEM fields?
It felt like as I growing older, you realize that, you know, you live at a level that you're supposed to, mm-hmm. you know. And so a lot of times that me growing up in Selma, you see a lot of, you know, teachers, and, you know, either you're just going to a certain school. A lot of times I was on state for Alabama A&M, you know. But with time, I just realized that I was, you know, my father was a physical education teacher. My mom was a social worker or what have you. So they kind of installed like education. And I remember this time where in 11th grade, we had to write a report on what we wanted to become, where we was going to school to become. I wrote something about mechanical engineer. I had no idea to this day, what is a mechanical engineer, you know? So I just knew that I wanted to become a basketball player, NBA player at that time. But I knew that, you know, scholarships didn't come, so I had to focus in on a particular thing. And what happened was my grandfather, he had cancer. And so I would go home, go visit him, and they had this physical therapist come to the house, you know. And so I'm helping him out, got him back walking, getting his balance back and everything like that. And so that moment, I knew I was becoming a physical therapist. Now, in order, you know, a lot of times that we have this idea of the destination, but we don't know the process. Then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, okay, I got to go to school for 4 years. Then I go to school 3 years. We want a medical doctor, three, pending. So what I had to do, with a lot of us, you know what I mean, especially in any kind of healthcare field, is really like, you really got to educate yourself, you know, what, you know, on those topics as far as math and science. And honestly, I was pretty good at it. And I just kind of just studied. I can tell you one thing. I'm not the smartest, but I work hard, you know? So far as it's, you know, one of the things that physical therapy, it's just approximately like 4% Black, you know? Mm-hmm. And probably, no telling how many Black males in the field, what have you. But I think that a lot of times that, especially when kids ask me, I want to become a physical therapist. And then I talk to them about, hey, you need to get these basic classes. You need to do good in science and mathematics. And then it's like, I can't do that. Then they want to go to another major or what have you. A lot of people just want the easy route. But I know, like, far as Alabama State had at one point, just kind of a program where you can, you know, you take these courses and you have entry, get a acceptance into the PT program. So, but to answer your question, all in all, it's, you know, we can do anything, but we just not exposed to it, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and don't understand the work. We don't like science and mathematics. I have no idea, but, you know, it depends on each individual.
agree with you. Exposure has a lot to do with it. I mean, growing up, math has always been my favorite subject. In fact, trigonometry was mine. And I went into the social sciences because I did not know what fields I could be in being a math major. I thought all I could do was be a math teacher when there was so much more that I could do. And that has to do with exposure, to your point. And you talked about the importance of teachers. Any teachers you want to call out their names? I always want to acknowledge the teachers.
Teachers are, you know, the most valuable. They create careers, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as from high school to college, you know, it's always an individual as far as teacher that always kind of took you by the hand, guided you, spoke words of wisdom to you, directed you in the path, pushed you in this direction. Without people like that, I wouldn't be here talking. I mean, there's Dr. Witt, there's Miss OKK, there's Mr. Rose, there's Miss Beverly Cheerders, there's, you know, I can go on and on and on. Not only just, you know, Black teachers, white teachers, you know what I mean? You know, so at the end of the day, you know, I'm blessed to have those influences in my life.
That's it. I always want us to acknowledge the teachers and call out their names when we can. I've had influences, Miss Bobby Nuss, my third grade teacher, as you stated, doesn't necessarily have to be a Black teacher. That teacher is the one who got Miss Bobby Nuss, is the one who got me into math and being able to excel in math. My mentor, Dr. Alma Renee Williams at Clark Atlanta University. And then I had Dr. David Montejano and Dr. Ricardo Romo in graduate school, along with Dr. Antonia Castaneda and many others, to your point, throughout school, Dr. Marcellus Barksdale. It's so many, Alton Hornsby. And those teachers, like you said, are the ones, teachers and professors, who can take you by the hand and really guide you into your career. So let's talk about physical therapy. What do you do as a physical therapist? And I know you stated the different work that you started off with your grandfather, and now you're a professional physical therapist. What is it that you do as a physical therapist?
So as a physical therapist, we evaluate and diagnose patients with healthcare conditions, you know, that limit them as far as functional mobility, as far as we're experts in mobility, as far as walking and standing, you know. So we evaluate the patient, we give them as far as prescription. The prescription is what? Exercise. And so we facilitate their overall function, promote human performance, you know, support surgical outcomes and things that make them. So for the past 14 years, I've been working, I mean, first job out of school, still there. I work at this facility here in Birmingham, which serves indigent population, which don't have insurance, which is a low social economic population that don't have, that lack transportation, that lack far as the resources they need to be able to, you know, to have a healthy lifestyle. Not only just physical, but mental. So those different variables, things of that nature that you see individual, majority of them are people of color, you know? So you see all types of health disparities type things. So, you know, it's a reality check each and every day, you know, but it's rewarding. I love my job. I feel like God breathes in me. I'm supposed to be there. It's not a job, it's enjoyment. I enjoy what I love what I do. Just to, you know, be able to use my skills that I've learned, but be able to, you know, when they leave, they smile, say thank you. That's the best feeling.
So you talk about serving indigent populations. How do they get access to your services if they don't have health insurance?
So Jefferson County here in Birmingham, Jefferson County overall, gets far as it's a grant. And so you just go to the specific location, the clinic, everybody knows the name of the clinic in Birmingham, and you apply for a card, and you're able to get, you know, primary care. You got special clinics, you know, to, you know, just overall wellness. Some of the sad stories that I want to share that I see daily are, you know, just, you know, people wait. One, they wait to 2, 3, 4 weeks. They may have a broken hip or something like that, but they can't afford to get transportation. Some people, you know, their blood sugar sky high, rocket, you know, and they just can't afford their medicine. A lot of times, some people just don't know about their resources, you know. People, you know, it's different situations where they're rather have food on their plate, I mean, food at the, on their plate as compared to taking care of their health, taking care of their family prior before they have seen so many, you know, sitters or CNAs or just people that, you know, that take care of their parents, have so much stress and burden on their lives. And recently, I had a guy got shot in the neck. You know, luckily, you know, it fractures his spine or what have you. You know, it's just those things that you look at life totally different. You know, it's kind of like a realization, like, you know, why am I complaining? You know, what's going on in front of me? So just to be able to listen, be able to just talk about things, educate, not only on, you know, physical therapy, our purpose, our reason for here, but as well as to, you know, inspire, you know, encourage them, hey, go to the doctor. Okay, write things down. You may have like 10 minutes in there, you know, with your primary, 15 minutes. Write down a few things, what, say, doctor, this was going on. You know, if you aren't able to articulate it, but take somebody with you, you know? So it's just those small things, you know, we're not, as well as just not knowledgeable about what, you know, okay, I can ask them, like, do you have hypertension? No. You know, I got high blood pressure, which is the same, you know what I mean? You got high sugar, you know, stuff like that. So it's words, it's definitely communication, you know, because everybody's different. Everybody's different. My personality had to change from patient to patient. Mm-hmm. I might see 10 to 12, 15 patients a day or something like that. And each patient is totally different. So being able to understand, you know, who's in front of you, you know, being compassionate, have empathy, being able to educate, you know, a lot of times that we, I think a lot of times that they don't have anybody to talk to. You know, I have so many patients that I know I'm on a rant right now.
No, please, please.
But a lot of our patients don't have anybody at home to talk to. I can like say, hey, how you doing, Mr. Joe? You know, I'm thinking, are you going to tell me about his knee or his back? Man, my son acting up, I'm telling you, I got to go to school, you know, blah, 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 you know, or my daughter this and that. My mom's been worrying me about this and that, you know what I mean? I lost my job, you know, I don't know what to do. So it's just those things that make you there to be able to be. We're not just healthcare providers, but, you know, I think Aristotle was talking about how, you know, you don't heal the body, but as well as the mind. So, it's just those things that in every day that in a population environment that I work in, that's what I see. Yeah. You know? So just giving you a vivid picture of my daily kind of routine.
Yeah. And when you look at health disparities, as you stated, many of them fall in the disenfranchised, marginalized communities. A lot of times it's communities of color, and we recognize why it's so important to deal with our whole healthcare industry and making sure that all people have access to good healthcare. And here you are serving this population, but serving it with passion, like you said, passion, right, empathy, and also educating them on how to articulate their health concerns when they do have the opportunity to go to the doctor. So what advice would you give people who are listening in terms of helping others who necessarily don't have health insurance and cannot afford a doctor? What would you encourage them to do and advise their loved ones and friends to do when they have health concerns?
I think one thing is like that there are resources, you know, there are local resources, you know, there are, you know, the health department, you know, local hospitals, you know, I mean, there are resources where you that the institution will help you. You know, I think it's our responsibility. We have to take initiative to educate ourselves. I think that, of course, you know, a lot of people I've seen just don't want to go to the doctor. You know, their foot can be, their toe can be infected or whatever. Don't want to go. You know, I can understand as far as the Tuskegee experiment, things of that nature there, but we have to really take initiative to educate ourselves. We have to take, you know, we have to step out, you know, regardless of what history says or what's going on in the present, and, you know, find that primary care, find that that clinic that will, you know, accept you for who you are. You know, of course, you know, I've seen it, you know, some healthcare providers treat people differently. Some cannot communicate, don't understand, you know what I mean? It's that cultural competence aspect, you know? So, but I think that one, educate yourself. Two, go out and find resources. Three, you know, get somebody in the family. Somebody knows somebody, you know, especially these resources nowadays, you know, Facebook and, you know, all these other social media outlets, you know, there's resources, you know, in your particular community. And I know my mom, she, you know, she's a social worker. So I know you can reach out to a social worker, you know, people that title will have you to kind of help assist. But that's off the top of my head right now.
So just to inspire, you know, some young people who may be listening to the show, you're African-American male, and I'm sure you've hit many roadblocks in the trying to keep you from living out your destiny and becoming a doctor. What type of advice do you give young African-American men in particular, people in general, but that population in particular? What kind of advice would you give them on achieving their personal and professional goals?
Number one thing is know yourself. Know your gifts, know your talents, know your skills. Know yourself in and out. We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths, you know. And the other thing is don't compare. I tell this with students that go into physical therapy school. I came in with a blank sheet of paper. Some people were athletic trainers, physical therapy assistants, older than me. I'm the youngest person in the class. I don't know. I didn't know anything. But at the end of the day, don't compare yourself. That's one of the key things. Don't compare yourself. You learn at your pace. You know, you ask questions. Don't be afraid. But the key thing is know yourself. When you know yourself, nobody can tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. You know? I think nowadays, as far as this world, as far as, you know, with social media, what's going on in news, what's going on, just overall racism, prejudice, hatred, all this stuff going on, you have to remain focused on, as far as, thank you, relationship with God. That's really the number one thing. And when you know you would depend and rely on Him for wisdom, everything else is going to fall in line. You know, but overall, know yourself, you know what you want to do. Of course, it's going to be people going to stereotype you. People are not going to have you involved, but expect it. Expect it. But everything is going to work out at the end.
Great advice. Know yourself. Don't compare yourself. And stay connected to your source, whatever that source may be, in terms of the higher spirit. So, Dr. Turner, I'm so happy that you accepted my invitation to be on the show. I'm happy to say that I'm your first person to interview you.
I know, right? You know, one of the things people always, one thing I learned is that when you want people to talk, ask them about themselves or ask them about their family.
So I got it down then, huh?
You got it down. You got it down. You got me talking. I'm normally the quiet one.
Oh, are you? I didn't know that. So I am so happy to have you. And
I know. I wish this would continue on. I'm going to have to come back one day.
Yes, yes, please. Yes, please come back. You come back anytime. It doesn't have to be a couple of years. You got plenty you can talk about.
Yeah, you know that.
Thanks. Great having you.
Thank you so very much. Take care.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ongully, theme song. NADWORKS, digital support. And of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.